Hopefully your doctor is attractive.
That's a dude.
Hopefully he's attractive.
Yeah.
That's
maybe
a
he looks like Jason Statham.
It's like it's like the Cosby Show, where he's just running a practice in his basement.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, he was a gynecologist.
I know. I was thinking about that. I was like, you know what? I love the Cosby Show, but I was too innocent and too young to realize that there was a doctor that would have women come over, go into his basement, and check their stuff. There is no way Lynn would ever go to a doctor whose practice was in their basement.
Yeah, that's like rapist Shady. Creepy. Yeah, like I don't know about all that.
Might as well have a van.
Joke. That's his quote-unquote, you know, practice. He's actually doing other nasty.
I know. Things. And in the meantime, his kids are upstairs doing homework. He's down
he's
there
murdering bitches downstairs.
Elbow deep in cervixes. He's
like, yeah, have a pudding pop, and then
doing homemade abortions.
That is bad.
Taking the wooden popsicle part and
prying apart, seeing what's happened. Stabby stab.
Oh,
reading the jokes.
I am ready to go.
Come on, give it to the new guy. Dance, Robin.
Yeah, I was not impressed.
That show bores me the heck out.
Look at you, Justin, connecting the dots.
They've got to cram a lot of really cool stuff into each one.
I like it, the blue bride.
Learning so much right now.
Well, that's my contribution.
Boom. Done.
Welcome back to another episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. Sorry we missed you last week. We all decided to take a week off and have a little mini vacation, but we're back in full force.
Nope.
I don't remember it that way.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I think you were on vacation and the rest of us carried on.
Yeah. The show must go on, Dave.
You did this without me?
Yeah. We had Harrison Ford on the show. We had Stan Lee on the show. Michael
Best
Bay came back.
Podcast ever.
And I missed it?
Yes, you did.
No!
We actually had Harrison Ford in studio with us talking about the Wii. We played some games with him, too.
Yeah.
What?
He was getting pretty upset.
I'm going to take my kid's plastic sword here and commit seppuku. How dare you? Justin, you take over.
All right. Speaking of Harrison Ford, did you know that movie that he was just in, the terrible, terrible movie, Paranoia, it's at a whopping 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, nice.
Is that like the lowest it's ever been for a movie? Is there anything less than 2%?
What about Geely? I thought that was the all-time lowest.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, that 2% sounds pretty bad. So check the,
terrible.
Check the Geely out, though. All
right. I remember that Last Airbender at one point was at 1%, but
it's at 6 now.
Now it's at 6, okay. Yeah. I'm sure Paranoia will eventually go up.
Hopefully. Oh my god, that's bad.
How do you spell Geely?
You spell it C-R-A-P.
Oh, 6%, so... Whatever
it's three
that
times the movie.
Yeah, it's three times better.
That's rough. So Paranoia is one-third as good as Geely and The Last Airbender.
It's double Scary Movie 5. It got 4%.
Dude, that movie is probably the worst movie I've ever seen. And if Paranoia is half as good as that, that's like Sign of the Apocalypse.
Oh, it's up to 4 now.
Oh, tied.
It's getting some momentum.
It's not as good as Scary Movie 5.
Man, how is that possible? How can it be so terrible?
Yeah, because it's got a decent cast.
Oh, it says cliche and unoriginal. Well, there you go. That explains everything.
But, I mean, it's got Gary Oldman and Liam Hemsworth.
Yeah.
4.7 on IMDb.
And Lucas Till is in it.
It does, in fact, have Lucas Till in it.
Played Kevin.
Kevin Malone, who talks like this.
He's Havoc in the X-Men movies.
Nice.
Huh. Oh, yeah. From like...
First Class.
First Class.
Fast.
Yeah.
Oh. Those movies there.
Yeah. He's a Summer. He's a...
Alex.
Oh, Alex. There you go. I knew I didn't like that kid.
There was something off about him.
Yeah.
Something just a little bit wonky.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of...
So what's new? What's happening?
I was going to segue because we were speaking of X-Men. That did you see Mark Miller, who's kind of the overlord of the 20th Century Fox Marvel properties, came out publicly to say that not only do the X movies take place in the same universe, but they also take place in the same universe as the Fantastic Four reboot. And he says that there will most definitely be some form of crossover between the two franchises at some point.
Oh.
Yeah, so I didn't know what you thought of it. I figured that, you know, maybe they would use the X-Men franchise to lend some legitimacy to the Fantastic Four franchise, who had two shitty movies, regardless of what you and Randy are about to say.
What do you mean?
Because you guys love those two movies?
I think that they are enjoyable. And that's coming from someone who can't stand Reed Richards. I hate the man. I think he's the dumbest, ugliest, stupidest character on the planet. And I hate his little rubber arms. It grosses me out. But for whatever reason, I enjoy the movies. Not to mention Andrea from Walking Dead is in the first one. That's a lot of work. It's an uphill battle with Fantastic Four. And I still enjoy it.
But she breaks Ben Grimm's heart.
No, he should clobber her ass.
It's clobbering time. It's Randy's favorite movie.
I heard that. He saw the second one first, though.
No, I actually watched those ones in proper order. I wouldn't say it's my favorite movie, but I didn't think it sucked.
Yeah, there you go.
It sucks so bad.
I don't know.
It was so bad I didn't even see it. Yeah. Either of them.
Two words for you, Jessica Alba.
Yeah, but she looks all weird with her funky eyes.
That's just how she looks, dude.
Oh, she has like these blue
contacts. What a dick.
I know.
Rude.
That's pretty.
Got blue contacts in. They look all weird.
She does look kind of weird as a blonde, though.
When can we expect the... I just whistled. That's terrible. When can we expect to see Final Fantasy IV 2.0?
Are we talking Fantastic Four?
What did I say?
Final Fantasy
IV. I got Final Fantasy on the brain, dude. I've been playing it all... What? When did we start playing that shit? Doesn't matter. A couple days ago. Okay.
But Fantastic Four is going to come out like every movie in the world in 2015.
Oh.
Wants to compete with Avengers 2, Man of Steel 2, Star Wars Episode 7, another Hunger Games, the last Hobbit film.
Is it really competing, though? It's just going to be out in the same summer.
Well, they all compete for, you know, right now there's like 10... movies that would normally like rule the summer all coming out that year.
Right, I guess. Maybe
it's kind of, and you know who wins? Us, the viewer.
Right.
So I've never seen these Fantastic Four or Final Fantasy Four movies here. So I'm doing some Googling here, and Jessica Alba as a blonde blue eyed is not doing it for me. It's looking pretty gross.
You're shallow. You and Dave are shallow.
I'm with Dave. You're looking creepy.
Yeah,
I think so.
And the story sucks.
What?
Galactus is a cloud.
Dr. Doom?
Ooh.
Doom.
Is it Doom in it?
Doom is in it for like, he's barely in it. If it was all Dr. Doom all the time, I'd be excited.
I am such an idiot. Right now, I just Googled Jessica Doom.
Nice.
What came up?
I think you need some sleep, bro.
God, I can't even think. Jessica Doom. That's terrible. But... on the plus side, Jessica Alba does show up, and so does the guy that played Dr. Doom.
I like him.
What's his name?
From Nip Tuck?
Nip Tuck, yeah. He was in Charm, too.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, no one's perfect.
Something? Julian?
Julian? Yeah, that guy's cool.
Something? Doesn't matter. Let's call him McMasters. That's a fun name. Let's just make up names for people. I think he looks like a McMasters, so that's what we'll call him.
Julian McMahon?
I was close. I was close.
You were very close.
He's a good-looking guy. I like him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do things to him?
Nah.
Not Statham good-looking, though, right?
No, it's a different kind of good-looking. This guy, I think this guy could be like a Bond. He's badass.
I could see him being a Bond. He could do it.
Yeah.
Is he British, though?
I think so.
Wow.
I would look him up, but I don't know how to... I can't spell. I can't think right now.
McMahon. McMahon.
McMahon.
I'm sure you can spell Julian, right?
I can't.
He probably put James Bond in, but with the rate he's going.
If he was James Bond, he didn't show up. What?
What's going on here?
There he is, Julian McMahon. Yeah, good looking guy.
Julian Bond.
Oh no, he's from Australia.
Same thing.
Ass.
Yeah, that's different. He could be in the reboot for Crocodile Dundee.
It could. Or in the Mad Max reboots.
Oh, yeah.
Or in the reboot of Bird on a Wire.
Who would play Goldie Hawn's character?
Jessica Alba in a blonde wig. And
Yeesh. Easy.
They should just bring Goldie Hawn back. She hasn't aged a day.
Oh, no. She's looking great.
How is it her daughter looks older than she does?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Well, I think Goldie Hawn's doctors swapped faces when they went in there for plastic surgery.
Well, most of Goldie Hawn's only like 22, so she's pretty young.
Oh, that's terrible. Hey, I saw some movies this weekend.
Yeah, hey, what'd you see?
Zookeeper?
That's a good one.
Bullet to the Head.
Oh.
And every time someone got shot in the head, Lynn and I would go, bullet to the head. So stupid. It made it more fun.
Now, but, honestly, Justin, can you tell me, how many times did you chuckle at Zookeeper? I chuckled a couple times.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Did you have to go to the movie theaters for these movies? Or Redbox special?
It was Redbox, but it was free because I had rented a movie that
stolen them. No,
gave me two free rentals.
You had a brick. They're free.
Yeah, so I saw those. But yeah, saying bullet to the head every time someone got shot in the head was fun. And Christian Slater was in it. I like that guy.
I was thinking Slater from... I did the word association, Justin. I thought from Saved by the Bell.
Oh, Slater. That's A.C. Slater.
Yeah.
That's Mario Lopez.
There's a difference.
That's David's euphemism for dropping a deuce.
I was trying to make that a thing. I'm like, I'm going to take an A.C. Slater, but it never caught on.
Oh.
Yeah, that... I can't get behind that either.
No one did.
I saw Kick-Ass 2.
Oh, yeah? Did you hate it as much as everybody else did?
No, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
But I've changed. I like good shit,
you hate bad shit? Reverse that.
Reverse that, like that. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't half bad. And I don't know, Jim Carrey was pretty cool in it.
I saw Expendables 2. Watch it on the Netflix.
Oh, jeez. Oh, and I'm all caught up on Breaking Bad, too, by the way.
Nice.
So we can talk about it.
Even like yesterday's episode?
Yes.
So I haven't seen it yet. Are they streaming it on AMC?
Yes. No. Okay. Well, they streamed the first episode on AMC. I don't know.
Right. I don't have the television, so I'm relying on the interwebs to...
The thing that sucks about that is you still have to sit through the commercials, though. Yes. That's how I had to watch last week's episode, because I forgot to set my DVR. But yeah, I'm one episode behind, too, because we were at the Geeky Awards last night, so I did zero TV watching.
Oh, let's talk about that. How were the Geeky Awards?
They were geeky. They were awesome.
Yeah, so...
Not that we can really say that we saw the awards show, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't really see any of the awards show. We were in the press room with the... at the video interview line the entire time, but we heard a lot of cheering and a lot of the crowd going crazy and music and echoey speeches from where we were standing. Everyone seemed to be having a great time, and there were a lot of fun faces there, and we got to interview a whole hell of a lot of people, as you will see if you check out our YouTube channel. We got 5 of them up so far, and in the next coming days we're going to have a whole lot more material up there from it.
Who were some of your favorite interviews?
I'll put that to David because he's the one doing the interviews.
He's executing the AC Slater.
That's right. I'm doing the AC Slater. I was letting Randy have his moment in the sun. Even though when it came to the Mythbuster guy, Randy didn't want to interview him, and I was sad. I was trying to get him to talk to him.
It was the end of the day. I was ready to mentally check out. We literally had all of our gear packed, and we were walking out the door. When Grant Imahara comes in from Mythbusters, and we're like, holy shit, he was one of the interviews we wanted to get before the show started but didn't have the opportunity. And he had just presented an award, and we're like, and he was coming through the line, and there were only like one or two other people even doing video interviews still. So it's like we knew we would be able to get an interview, so we stuck around, and we didn't even set up all of our gear. We just set up the essentials. And David was trying to get me to do it But I've actually never done an on-camera interview for Geek Legacy, and I'm nervous. I'm scared.
This
I'm like a little
kid. This
would
have been the perfect one, because you're so into that. You know, so would have been magical.
I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
Me too.
I am very, yeah, even though you've done like half of our Comic-Con interviews.
I know, but I hate every second. Well, I hate's a strong word. I get very, very nervous.
You can't be worse than me.
Yeah.
You were fine. You had a nice rapport, a nice little banter going on with everybody. You had a good sense of humor about everything. You were doing fine. I did not want to break your stride.
Oh, no. Breaking my stride. I would say that my favorite interviews were we talked to Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, both the old and the new, and he was really fun. I thumb wrestled him, so that was pretty fun. We got to talk to Allison Haislip, who was the host, and was looking pretty good there.
She was
a fun interview. Like Randy said, we talked to Grant from MythBusters. We talked to Seth Green. That was a big one that, you know, I think we've been trying to get for a couple of years now, so it was cool to check him off our list.
You should have whipped out your list and checked them off right in front of him.
Like, thanks, man.
We're done with you.
A cool one, too, was we got to talk to this guy from NASA. And it's funny, he had, like, this mohawk, so at the end, he had this real hard-to-pronounce name. And so at the end, when Randy was trying to find out his name to, put in the video and stuff like that, he Googled like NASA Mars Mohawk, and he was like the first response.
Because that's how everybody knows him. I mean, he was like a big thing on the internet for all of about a week after the Mars rover landed.
So
he was totally cool. I mean, he was a really neat guy to talk to, and there were a couple of NASA people there last night, but he was the only one that we talked to.
Yeah, we got scolded because we talked to him for too long, because I'm like, when am I going to talk to some dude from NASA about Mars? Like, we were talking about space and Mars and Star Trek.
Well, yeah, and he was a big Star Trek fan, so you dropped the big question on him, and I'll let you explain that.
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked to Chase Masterson from Star Trek, and I dropped the same question on here. Was, you guys had talked about it, or I think I may have even been on the podcast, about the Star Trek convention where Into Darkness was voted the worst Star Trek movie of all time, and obviously Geek Legacy were huge fans of that movie, and I think all of us put it in our top three. And I got some varying answers. Chase Masterson kind of said that she wasn't a huge – she enjoyed the new movies, but she wasn't, in love with them. That they kind of – she thought they kind of flew in the face of the Roddenberry spirit. And she didn't have anything bad to say. She just didn't – they didn't present the utopian future that Roddenberry had envisioned, which – I don't really agree with, but, that's her own opinion. And then the guy from NASA, he had a similar thing. He enjoyed Into Darkness, and he would by no means make it the worst film.
Wait, she called it a utopian future? What about all that? She worked at a space station where it was nothing but conflict.
But, the idea that, things are going to get better type thing.
But Roddenberry was pretty well dead by the DS9 days. So.
Yeah, Bobak from NASA, the Mohawk guy, he actually tried to defend the motion picture to us.
Oh my god.
but from his eyes, he did it from a NASA point of view. That's all about the Voyager probe, and so right. It's got kind of a tie to NASA. So I understand, his enjoyment of it. But so it was kind of cool to talk to NASA. We talked about Mars. He thinks that, we could potentially have people in Mars in the 2020s. That it's, corporations being all corporation-y, they're trying to privatize trips to Mars to make money, but because they're doing it and the government's doing it, they're kind of like doubling their effort, and between 2020 and 2030 they think that they'll have people actually expeditions to Mars and possibly even colonizing it. So
what?
Stay tuned.
Not gonna happen.
No,
not in our lifetime.
I think it'll happen.
There's nothing to do there. Mars is like the 29 palms of space.
Have you not seen Total Recall? We can go get our heads exploded. It'll be great.
There's three boob bras.
I was going to say chicks with three titties.
Yeah, and all kinds of good stuff. Quado or Quadro or whatever his name was.
Quado. You're right.
We can go hang out with him.
Open your mom.
He seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah, he looked fun guy to hang out with, get some beers with.
The actual Geeky Award was pretty cool too. It was like this it was like a hard plastic Blu-ray gun, and it magnetically stuck to the base, so it was meant to be taken off and put back on, you know, when you wanted to like show it off. And it was a pretty cool award. Store, I think you can actually buy the award if you want one of your very own. Unfortunately, I don't think it'll say best anything. It'll just be the actual award. But
well, speaking of best of, I was actually a judge for the category of best podcast.
Awesome.
That was a lot of fun. Got to listen to many a podcast. And I am looking forward to doing it again next year.
Did you get a vote for your own?
We didn't do it.
Losers.
No.
But hey, maybe next year. Of course, if you do put ours in the running, then you're not going to be able to judge the podcast. You'd probably have to judge something else.
That is
correct. Or can you?
I don't want to sound too crazy, but I think a couple of ours would have done pretty well in that competition. Assuming I wasn't the judge, I think people might have fallen in love with the Geek Legacy podcast.
That's all I ever wanted to hear from you.
No.
One of the cool projects from the Geeky Awards was the guy who actually won for Best Graphic Novel, and his story was kind of cool. It's called Colonus. And basically what happens in the not-too-distant future, you know,
we colonize Mars?
Sort of. We basically... We pretty much deplete all the resources in Earth, and so we have to go to our neighboring planet. And so all of, like, the best and the brightest and, like, you know, all the good people, they go and they colonize and live on Mars. And they send, like, almost like a prison planet. They send all of the rejects and the poor and the
disturbing... All of us.
They send everyone else to Venus. And so then the story fast forwards three generations, and Mars is crumbling, but Venus is thriving because of they have a more strict honor code almost. And so now Mars is coming to Venus to try to trade and maybe even move in because they're destroying their own planet.
What?
And yeah, so it's kind of a cool thing. You know, if you Google Colonus, you can download the graphic novel and check it out. It won over some pretty big names. There was a Walking Dead was nominated, and a couple other graphic novels from Dark Horse were nominated, and it won. And so the guy who won was totally cool guy. He was Ken Pisani, and he was pretty excited. So check it out, Colonus.
Yeah, we interviewed him before and after he won.
Yeah. The twofer. That's pretty much it, unless Randy can think of something else that happened that was fun there. It was a good time. I think I saw 2 minutes of the show at the very beginning while we were waiting for Seth Green and Stanley to come through the interview line, and then we left.
Yeah, we almost got Stanley.
Almost.
We were like second in line to get him, but he kind of bolted for the door, and I can't blame him. it was kind of a crazy, frenetic atmosphere, so once he caught sight of the outside, he was just making a beeline.
He saw daylight and he ran.
Yeah.
Aww. Anything else from the Geekies, Rando?
You know, I think that's about it. I mean, I'm still overwhelmed from it. It was an intense couple hours. It was nonstop interviews in a very, very packed theater there. It was a cool environment. It was really kickback, kind of chill, and it was a really neat place to interview people. But man, it was tiring. It was exhausting by the time the whole thing was over.
Did you guys see the trailer for that J.J. Abrams' The Stranger?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Perfect segue, by the way.
You like that?
That's so. Slid right into home there.
That's right. When you're sliding into home and you're feeling lots of foam diarrhea.
I heard that in a while. It's like Parenthood or something.
Yep. Yeah.
What did you guys think, other than weird as hell?
I mean, is he trying to get into, like, horror films or weird, like, snuff films? I don't know. It's pretty weird. I don't know.
That's his vacation. He's a weird guy. It's his vacation films. No, I mean, we don't know anything about it. We don't know if it's a movie, a TV show, a web series, if he's directing it, producing it, if this is just him being a weirdo and wanted to just... He'd fallen out of favor on the internet a couple days. I don't know.
People aren't talking about me. Do something weird.
Mission accomplished.
That's his original material. Everyone's like, how can we never get anything original from J.J. Abrams? So he's like, boom, this is it.
And we're like, okay, we don't want any more original material from you, Mr. Abrams.
He's so awesome.
I can't wait to see it. I am already in love with it. It's the best movie ever.
I don't know about that, but I would definitely watch it. And that's the creepy part is, I mean, I'm like, yeah, it has his name on it, so I'm pretty brainwashed. I would definitely see it. So,
well, there you go.
Can't be worse than Super 8, right?
I like that movie.
It's like 36 hours long.
What? It was not that long.
No, it's all right.
It had a friendly monster guy thing.
I like Kyle Chandler.
Who's that? Is that the fat kid?
No, that's the dad.
Is it the coach from Friday Night Lights?
That is.
Never saw that show.
You should. It's a great show.
Do they win state?
Some of the time.
Got him, coach.
They do win state a couple years.
Oh. Do they win the last episode?
You don't want me to spoil the whole series.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch it.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch it. So, I mean, I don't know if Geek Legacy has a dedicated Friday Night Lights crew.
They win state on the first, second, and fifth season.
How many seasons were there?
Five.
Oh, okay. Good.
With the Dillon Panthers and then the East Dillon Lions. The more you know.
This is high school football?
High school football. In Texas. With intrigue and intercourse.
Oh, really? On the TV there?
On the TV there. It's NBC, though, so it's not good intercourse.
Oh. Did you ever watch that show that he did, like, Early Edition?
Yeah, where he got, like, the news the day before?
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, it was on Netflix, and I watched it after Friday Night Lights, just because I really do. I think he's a fun guy. And I was entertained.
That's kind of funny because with the newspaper, you don't get the news until it's a day after it's happened. So he's 2 days ahead of the newspaper, really.
He's just leap year.
When you think about it,
it's leap year every day for that guy.
Yeah. Huh.
The news. Like newsies?
Get your papes, hey?
That's Randy's favorite movie.
It's not bad.
You know, I didn't see that movie all the way through until just like a year ago.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Disney, isn't it?
It is. And I was actually in Florida at the Disney Studios over there when they were shooting it back in the 90s. That was like my first trip to Disney World. And they were shooting it on the back lot. And yeah, I just never saw it in the theater. And I just saw bits and pieces of it on TV over the years. It wasn't until like 6 months to a year ago I actually watched the whole thing. Because you guys give me a hard time about it.
Oh, I did?
Assuming I like it.
Oh.
So I figured, like, well,
you're a fan of the live-action Disney movies.
Yeah, and that era.
Yeah, I'm a fan of the era and everything. Well, Flight of the Navigator was earlier. I mean, that's a straight 80s movie.
I like that.
I feel like I'm too young for this movie. What movie is this?
Flight of the Navigator?
No, Newsies. The Papers, Please. Or
oh, yeah.
Newsies.
Newsies. Oh,
yeah. It has Christian Bale in it.
Yeah.
Like a
10-year-old.
Is he
12?
Yeah.
He's like a
teens.
Yeah, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
The Empire of the Sun that he's really young.
Huh.
Empire of the Sun.
Wasn't that?
By Steven Spielberg.
Huh.
Clearly, you're fans.
Yeah. That's got KGB in it.
Gary Oldman?
I was thinking of John Malkovich.
Sorry. Touche. What else you got going on?
Did I talk about Bullet to the Head already?
You did.
Did I tell you guys it was amazing?
No.
Did I tell you Christian Slater was in it?
Yes, you did.
Oh, he gets shot in the face.
Does he now?
Spoiler alert. Yeah, it's in the preview, so it's okay. I can ruin it.
Spoiler alert, dude. Speaking of getting shot to the face, did we talk about Expendables 3?
No. I hear they're making an Expendables 3.
True.
What happens? This is the one where Mel Gibson goes crazy, right?
He's not already? I was going to say, I thought he was already there.
Well, they released the synopsis for the Expendables 3. Starring Sylvester Stallone, Harrison Ford, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jason Statham, everyone in the world who's ever been in an action movie in the history of all mankind. They started principal photography, and they released the official synopsis, which was just a generic synopsis. But what was most interesting about it was it mentioned most of the cast. It did not mention Jackie Chan, Nicolas Cage, Mila Jovovich, or Mickey Rourke, all of which had been mentioned in the past to being in the film. Sylvester Stallone made an actual announcement for Nicolas Cage and for Mickey Rourke. Jackie Chan and Mila Jovovich had been reported and never denied, but their names are nowhere to be found on this credit list. So, what's up, Sly?
Mm-hmm.
I know everyone at Geek Legacy is an enormous fan of all of Nick Cage's work, and we are to seeing Nicolas Cage in Expendables 3, and I am heartbroken.
There's no sweat off my sack. I'll tell you that right now.
What? But you know that on air, Justin.
That is sweat off my sack because I love that guy.
Nicolas Cage?
I'll watch anything he's in.
Oh, no.
I'm still waiting for National Treasure 3.
Keep on waiting. Fuck that movie.
Matchstick Man and The Wicker Man.
No. What's the movie where he's got a bow and arrow?
That's the match. That's Wicker Man. Oh, that's The Weatherman, sorry.
And he's got a fat daughter.
Weatherman.
What's the movie where it's kind of like a Scrooge tale where he's going to die or something, and it's Christmas. Don Cheadle may or may not be in it.
Worst description of a movie ever, by the way. I just had to throw it out there because
John Cheadle may.
There's this guy, he might be in it. I don't know.
Yeah, so Nicolas Cage is.
You know,
they
do the things.
He's like, okay, so here's the deal. So he's like a successful businessman. It's basically like Scrooged with Bill Murray. But in this case, it's Nicolas Cage, and he's not happy with his life. And I think it's Christmas. Could be Easter.
Right. Going to the Google machine.
And then he sees what his life would be like with Don Cheadle in it.
If they hung out as buds. What if?
Are you talking about Family Man?
There you go. That's it. Family Man. See, it's a movie. You guys thought I was lying with that other movie too, with Channing Tatum, and he sells rip-off Harry Potter books and he fights people. That's a movie.
That one was a movie, yes.
So
Don Cheadle was in The Family Man.
There you go.
And spoiler alert, he decides at the end that his life is just perfect the way it is.
Oh.
You know who directed that movie? Brett Ratner.
Oh, there you go.
So they all can't be Rush Hour 2.
I knew it wasn't crazy.
Dude, Nicolas Cage has been in some terrible movies.
See? There's National Treasure.
National Treasure is great.
See, I'm not alone on that one.
I love both National Treasures.
You got that other one with Cher, Moonstruck, which I saw in the theater, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
My parents had a date night, but somehow I got stiffed by the babysitter, so then I had to go with. Saw Moonstruck.
We're the only one getting stiffed that night.
Two Ghost Rider movies, Drive Angry, Season of the Witch, Sorcerer's Apprentice.
Second Ghost Rider actually wasn't that
bad. Shut
up.
Oh, that's the one where he pees fire, right?
Yeah.
It's terrible.
I caught the back of the truck.
Was it Knowing? That movie sucks.
What movie?
Knowing? The one where
he knows
kid sees the future.
Yeah. Doesn't the world end in that movie?
Yes.
Stupid.
He was in Next, not to be confused with Knowing, because in Next, he can see the future. In Knowing, his kid sees the future. He was in The Wicker Man. He was in The Weatherman. He was in Matchstick Man. he likes
those man movies.
Freaking Captain Corelli's Mandolin. Windtalkers.
Oh, God. Windtalkers is terrible.
Adaptation.
Snake Eyes. That movie was bad.
8mm. City of Angels. Con Air. 8mm
wasn't so bad.
What was it?
8mm? I didn't.
Oh, yeah. That's the snuff movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That bad.
Who directs 8mm? Schumacher.
Nope. Yeah.
There you go. But he was in The Rock, which is awesome. And Trapped in Paradise is like one of my favorite Christmas movies.
Yeah. 8mm has like my favorite line. Like Joaquin Phoenix is like works at a sex shop. And Nicolas Cage goes in to like try to find out this underground sex trade to find if the snuff film is real. And he's like, can I interest you in a realistic vibrating vagina? No, I'm okay. I'd hate for you to be in a situation where you could really use an electronic vibrating vagina and just didn't have one. It's funny. Gandolfini's in that movie, too.
Oh, he died.
Sadly, yes.
He died of being fat.
I don't think that's a thing.
I had to look up who Joel Schumacher was, and now I'm sad to say that I can't get behind 8mm anymore just because of the other movies he's made.
He has a couple of good ones.
Falling Down.
That's
okay. It.
Yeah.
Lost Boys is in.
Yeah, Lost Boys. That movie's awesome.
You said that and 8mm. The other, the Batman movies.
Falling Down's pretty goddamn good.
Cage was also in Raising Arizona. That's good.
Yeah, that was.
Fast Times.
I like The Client, too. That wasn't bad. The Time to Kill? That was good, too. You guys don't like A Time to Kill?
I don't think I've seen it.
That's yes, I'm one. Glad they're dead.
No, yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell. And then he's got the same line almost in that other movie where he's like, yes, they deserve to die. They are killing my Marines.
Rules of Engagement?
Rules of Engagement. There you go.
With Tommy Lee Jones?
Uh-huh.
What do I win?
You win. Uh-huh. Dick shot. Here, I'll send it to you right now.
Sweet. Can't wait.
Hold up.
He's going to do it.
Oh,
anyway.
Boy, yeah, you know. please do not include me in this one, Justin. That's
how sad I am. I just realized that Schumacher directed 2 episodes of House of Cards, and I like that show.
See?
God damn it.
That's the best show on Netflix.
Yeah, I just started that today, actually. I am about 5 episodes in.
Awesome.
Yeah, oh, so good. Coming up on the Schumacher. He did chapter 5 and 6.
Let us know if it gets worse or better from there.
You know, there was a couple of episodes in the middle. I wonder if there were these two.
What a penis.
It's funny, I did completely tune out while I was editing, so it may have been because I was watching episode 5.
That's funny. Probably.
But everything up to that point kept my interest.
Oh, that's Phone Booth.
Oh.
No.
That was... That kind of put... what's his cheese on the map?
Yeah.
To McCollin Farrell?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that's what took
him off.
No, he was new when that movie came out.
Alexander took him off.
I don't even know what that is, so probably...
He'd been in a couple things before. Like, he had been in... he was in Minority Report. That was a big one.
Mm.
Justin's favorite movie.
You don't like the Minority Report there?
I do. I love it, but I guess I fell asleep because I didn't know that he was in it.
Like, every time I'll say something from Minority Report, he's like, what?
And on top of that, Tom Cruise is like a druggie or something.
Tom Cruise?
Dude, I'm losing it. I can't even.
I know. Now.
Justin's got his own personal six stick.
Did you see the movie too?
Me?
In Minority Report?
No. Yeah.
Six stick.
Oh, no.
This from.
What's from Minority Report, but.
Oh! I was thinking of Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, no, it's from Minority Report. So.
It's hard for me to watch that movie.
There's no Statue of Liberty. It's pretty minority-free, actually.
This is the one where the little wooden balls come out, and then he knows what people do?
Correct.
He reads the ball, and then he goes and arrests people?
They are precogs.
There's a murder ball, and then he goes out and...
Ooh, murder
ball.
They
stop crying before it happens.
I see. I don't think you should be guilty, because you haven't done anything yet.
That's the whole... That's the crux of the movie. Happen.
See? What a clever movie.
You know what movie is underrated, Tom Cruise? Night and Day. Did you see Night and Day with Cameron Diaz?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Oh yeah, where he's the guy. Yeah, that's a funny movie.
Oh, he's the guy with the face.
No, that's what he says in the movie. He goes, I'm the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or when he shoots the guy, he's like, I shot you clean through, in and out, you're probably getting a medal. Good job. You know what movie I saw this weekend that I hadn't seen in a long time?
Ghost Dog.
No. Copland. I was kind of like on a James Mangold kick. So I watched like Walk the Line, 310 to Yuma, Night and Day, and Copland all this weekend.
I love Copland. That movie's awesome.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, dude. It's bitching.
Go watch it.
Peter Berg's in it.
And Stallone.
Is it a land full of cops?
Yeah.
Like that. Okay.
New Jersey.
But, yeah, they all live in this city.
They all live.
Okay, so they're all New York cops, but they live in New Jersey. Oh. They're all crooked cops. But the thing is, they're regular like street police, whereas Sylvester Stallone is the sheriff of the town that they all live in. So he's the sheriff of a town full of cops, and they do all this back alley trading, and they're super crooked sons of bitches, crooked, more crooked than a barrel of snakes. and then he knows that they're into some shady shit. And then he works with this internal affair guy who is Robert De Niro to try and bring him down.
Yeah. Michael Rappaport kills a black kid and they try to cover it up.
I didn't want to give that part away.
That's like 10 seconds into the movie.
I know, but that's the grabber. That's the cool part.
It's on the Netflix. I can watch it
they
now.
They call him Super Bowl. Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
You know what? I think I own that movie anyway. But it's cool.
Check it out.
I wanted you to be a cop. I gave you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it.
Because he's deaf.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing. So, Sylvester Stallone, he can't hear.
All right. Well, I you sold me on it, guys.
So he's like watching sign language with donuts in his hand.
Oh, boy.
It's fun. Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Yes, please.
So, guys, I heard we didn't really have a game this week, and my list kind of lent itself to being something we could turn into a game, so I figure we'll kill two birds with one stone. What do you guys think?
Sounds like things.
All right, cool. Well, in light of a recent score of mine in which I purchased a large amount of vintage Star Wars toys, I've kind of been reinvigorated in terms of my collecting habit, and I came across a fun little blog. And on said blog was the top 10 list of the top 10 mail-away action figures of all time. And you might remember way back when you were a kid, saving your proofs of purchase from your action figures and mailing away for something super cool that you could only get through the mail and not in stores. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. And, of course, in the days of the Star Wars figures, all you really did was get it maybe 6 or 3 months before a new movie came out, and then that same figure would be released on a cardback. So they weren't that big a deal, but it was still pretty cool because you felt like you got something for free. I was trying to think how we could turn this into a game, and I figure what I'm going to do is just kind of go round robin style with you guys. And I apologize in advance if any of you aren't really all that familiar with like vintage mail away toys. And this list is heavy on the 80s, and it's got some 90s in there too. But I figure I'll just hit you guys one at a time. Give me one figure. We'll go through like three times, and then whoever gets the most out of the three that you guys ended up guessing, you'll pretty much be the winner. And if you guys do get some kind of tie, I'll rank you by how close to the top of the list you got. So, sound fun? Quick? Easy?
Oh, I'm clearly going to win. I was like 5 in the 80s. So, I got this.
I'm going to go ahead and give you the advantage and let you go first.
All right. Because I'm going to win.
When in doubt, you can always name a Star Wars character, and you know, there are quite a few that were available as mail-aways. They may not all be on this list, but it's a good place to guess.
Okay. That's going to be my guess.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I named several in the opening, if you remember what I said.
Well, that's a good guess because Akbar was a mail-away figure. And, he was the first figure available for Return of the Jedi. All right. And, David, let's hit you next.
Oh, my turn?
Yeah.
I'll go with the Boba Fett mail-away.
Okay. Justin.
Let's see. I will go with freaking Serpentor from G.I. Joe.
Ooh, good guess.
Oh, boy.
Kyle.
There's got to be a Yoda one.
Okay, David.
I'm gonna go with my guess from earlier as well. I'm going to go the Emperor mail away.
Okay. Justin.
Well, I'm going to stick with G.I. Joe. I'll go with the hooded Cobra Commander. I had both of these mail-aways, by the way.
Cool. And Kyle?
Vader.
Okay. And David?
Since you had hinted that there may be a Transform on the list, I'm going to go with the Reflector mail-away.
All right. That hint was given before that we actually started rolling the tape for the show here.
What would you like me to say it again without the hint?
No, that's okay. And Justin, last one.
Fuck, I don't know, dude.
Did you already say your Cobra Commander one?
Yeah, I just said that one. What about the your Indiana Jones one you were just talking about?
All right.
Was that Indy? Was it
skeleton?
Oh, the skeleton. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Did we guess all of them?
You did not guess all of them. I'm going to go down the list starting at number 10. Actually, it would have been physically impossible for you guys to list all of them with your 9 answers and their 10 in the top 10. But number 10, we're going to start with the Bomar Monk, character from Return of the Jedi. It's a spider-looking droid kind of character with a little tank underneath carrying a brain. And he was seen walking around in the background in Jabba's palace. Like when Luke is force choking the Gamorrean guards on his way in, you see one kind of like slinking around in the background there. And he was available in 1997. Do you guys remember that at all?
That's late. Oh, probably for the re-release of the movies?
Yeah, during right prime time for the special edition. I mailed away for a crap ton of these guys.
No, I don't remember that. I mean, I know the part in the movie, but I don't ever remember seeing the toy, which I wouldn't have anyway because I was just about out of high school and I didn't do it anymore.
Well, according to this website, which I forgot to plug earlier, Poe Ghostal, Poe as in like Edgar Allan Poe, Ghostal, like Go Postal, get it? It's kind of cool. A lot of action figure news there. So he has that listed as number 10. Let's move on to number 9. The Clark Kent figure from the Superpowers line, Kenner, 1985. The only way you could get him out of his Superman costume and in his little suit and glasses was to mail away for it. And that was kind of cool.
I don't even remember that line at all.
David, do you remember the Superpowers line, 1985?
Nope. Was it Amigo? No, it's Kenner. Never mind.
It's Kenner. No, they were pretty cool. I remember seeing them on the store shelves like way back when. Number 8 is a point for David. It is Reflector. It looks like a little SLR camera, snapshot camera, Transformers, Hasbro, 1986 and 87 is when it was available.
Reflector was the worst Transformer toy ever because it was the Reflector is 3 Transformers in one and they never connected together, right?
Yeah, there was always like a big old gap. Yeah, I remember that.
Never.
But it was kind of cool. It was available as a mail away. I don't remember very many other Transformers that were.
I was thinking it would have been one of the cassettes from Soundwave or whatever.
Yeah, Blaster had a lot of mail away cassettes. The Autobot version of Soundwave. I don't know if Soundwave ever did. He probably did too, I'm sure.
Number 7 here is a point for Justin. It is the Crystal Skeleton from Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That's luck, yes. He said that they sell for money. And I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you had to send $6 and 6 stickers, and it wasn't even a free figure. I'm reading the description here, and that's probably why I didn't do it. I was such a cheap ass.
It's just a skeleton? A crystal skeleton?
And it comes with a little golden throne that he was sitting on, too.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was cool because you could disconnect the skeleton's head, and you had the crystal skull. Because the only other way you could get the actual crystal skull in the scale of the action figures themselves was there was this one that came molded into Indiana Jones's hand. So you would have to, like, literally cut the hand off of it to have the crystal skull.
Oh.
Yeah. But that is neither here nor there. All right. Number 6 is Steel Brigade from G.I. Joe Hasbro 1987. I don't even know who Steel Brigade is, but he's number 6 on the list.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
The G.I. Joe, right?
I can't believe that he would be on this. I didn't even heard of him.
Yeah, apparently it was kind of a popular figure because everyone wanted to see what the guy's face looked like or something like that, and it was hidden with a helmet. So I don't know. The only one that I cared about in terms of the G.I. Joe mailaways when I was a kid is also another point for Justin here is the Hooded Cobra Commander. He's number 5 on the list. So, Justin, you are in the lead with 2 points.
No!
And that Hooded Cobra Commander, he was the actual only version of Cobra Commander I ever owned as a child.
Oh, really? They had the one with the steel.
Yeah, and that was the one that was hard. And I liked that one, but something about that hood. I always wanted to try to peel it up and look underneath, but you know, all it was underneath there was just a blue ball.
Right, the peg that his head sits on. There was another one too of him where after Serpentor got rid of Cobra Commander and he came back and he had like a new like armor set. It was like this crazy helmet.
Oh, it was like a lighter blue and he was wearing silver and stuff.
Yeah, it was like a silver helmet.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
I remember that one.
I had that too.
I think I may have actually had that one as well. just turned me into a liar. I had two Cobra Commander figures. All right, number four on the list is from Thundercats. Do you guys remember which character was a mail away?
Real quick, didn't you have the Comic-Con?
Well, yeah, but that was too? In recent years. Yeah, in recent years, yes, I did have the Cobra. It was released in 08 or 09, and it was using the body they were going to use for the tote figure from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and this is before they decided they were going to release that Lost Wave of Raiders figures. So the only way you were ever going to get that suited body that was intended for that unproduced Indiana Jones figure was to buy the Cobra Commander Comic-Con exclusive. And he came in two different suit colors. One was variant, and I had both of them. In fact, I might still. I don't remember, but yeah. But anyway, yeah, so he was my third Cobra Commander figure, but I don't count that because that's in my adulthood. All right. Adultery. So, Thundercats, number four. The mummy version of Mum-Ra.
Oh, yeah, because you only could get the big one. Like, yeah. And he was ginormous, too.
And I'm looking at the figure right now, and his legs are kind of molded. The only thing you can move are his arms, and he's got to be the least interesting action figure on this list. Because
the mummy one. The mummy.
A big hunk of plastic, yeah.
Yeah. His transformed self, though, is huge. He had, oh, like, yeah. Ridiculous he had headset.
Eyes and everything.
Ball. Yeah, he put the thing in the back, and the eyes went. That's stupid.
Okay, number three. No one got this one, but it's a good one. The fridge.
Ah.
G.I. Joe. Remember the football player?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Bears.
I actually very vividly remember that.
Like William Perry, the fridge?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was in his football outfit and everything. He was somehow a G.I. Joe character. I don't remember how that worked, but I remember they made a toy out of him.
That guy did everything. He was on he did like WWF shit sometimes too, I think.
Yeah. He was in the 20-man battle royal in WrestleMania 2.
There you go.
All right.
Won by Junkyard Dog. He betrayed Bret Hart.
Oh,
there you go.
What That's a jerk. Yeah.
Number two on the list here is another point for David. It is The Emperor, Return of the Jedi, 1984.
Yeah.
Five proofs of purchase would give you that little ugly, wrinkled bastard. And it was kind of cool. I actually own one of the Emperor figures that in the later run of the mail away, because it was a really popular figure to mail away for, and they offered it for quite some time. They ran out of just the boxed and bagged versions, and they started actually sending out the carded version of the character. So after he'd been offered as a mail away for like 6 months, they're going to sell him on a regular card back in stores. So they had all these carded ones that they would just slap into a bubble mailer envelope and ship it out to the kids, and they would be horribly smashed and disfigured. Not the figures themselves, but the packages, the cards. And on the back, the proof of purchase would be marked either with a black pen or a black stamp that said void. And the one that I have in my collection actually has a black stamp that says void on it, so I know it was a mailer. And it's kind of cool. It's all smashed to hell, but it's got a neat little story behind it. So I don't remember how I got mine as a kid, whether it was in a white box or on a card like that, but I definitely remember mailing away for the Emperor.
Yeah, I remember getting the mail away for Akbar and the TIE fighter or the TIE pilot, and they both came in a little white box.
So many figures were available mail away for Star Wars. Man, if you just like stocked up on stormtroopers, if you were one of those guys that bought like 50 of them and just saved all your proofs of purchase, you could get like half the rest of the collection for free.
Nice.
All right, number one on the list puts David on top and has him win the competition today.
There was
and
no Serpentor on that list?
It is Boba Fett. No Serpentor and no Akbar.
What?
I would have ranked Akbar higher than the Emperor. So, Kyle, I was totally in your court there. But, alas, it did not come to fruition. And David wins with 3 points, Justin, 2, and Kyle, good game.
the courteous exit. I appreciate that, sir.
Yes. Honorable mention on here is the Knight Fighter RoboCop figure who actually glowed in the dark. It was the most ridiculous looking action figure ever, but I don't even remember it. But the whole line of RoboCop figures was utterly forgettable anyway. From 1988.
All right. Well, that does it for this week's podcast. Special thanks to Kyle for joining us and filling in for Amanda, who couldn't be here tonight.
Yay.
Thanks for coming. We appreciate it.
Yay!
Please remember to like us on Facebook, follow us on the Twitter there, subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Go ahead and leave us some feedback. We welcome it. Be sure to check out our other podcasts. We have the Pixelated Podcast, which is hosted by Stephen James. It's all about video games, as well as the Comic Corner, which is hosted by Jeff and Tyler, where they review comics currently on their pull list. Visit geeklegacy.com for all your news and reviews, and that's it. Stay fabulous.